From the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and verse 41, it states that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Today, we talk about a subject that many do not want to talk about. The realness of hell. That hell is a real place, spoken about and taught in the scriptures by the Lord Jesus Christ on numerous occasions, more than he spoke about and taught about heaven. For individuals to know the seriousness and to make a decision on their destiny. Hell is not a place that is allegorical. Hell is not a place that is metamorphic. Hell is not a place that is merely symbolic. Hell is not a fable, not a tall tale, fiction, or something that mankind has made up. Hell is a place that is not extinction or oblivion after death. It is not soul sleep or a place called purgatory. Hell is not the state of annihilation where all is over after a person dies. As spoken in Matthew 25, hell is a real place that Jesus spoke about, a place of separation where mankind, after he is judged, can go to a place of eternal separation, separating the evil from the good, the believers from the unbelievers, and punishing the wicked, rewarding those that love the Lord. Hell is a place of separation, much like we have in today's world, a penitentiary separating those that cannot live socially with others. Spiritually, the same thing goes for hell, or the lake of fire as the final judgment, a place of separation. Spoken about in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, there's a great gulf fixed between the land of the living and the land of the dead. A spiritual Grand Canyon where we cannot cross over to them and they cannot cross over to us. Many would ponder and ask the question today, how can a loving God send someone to hell? Well, the answer is that God does not send anybody to hell, for it is a person's choice to love the Lord or not love the Lord, to trust in the Lord or not to trust in the Lord. Scripture teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, that individuals that receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved are not going to make it into the kingdom. It is those that reject the love of God, that reject faith in Jesus Christ, dying for their sins and rising from the dead, that receive everlasting punishment. And the Bible describes hell in many ways, and this is the truth that we can stand on and receive in terms of knowing what hell is. The realness of hell, spoken about in the scriptures. Point number one, mankind is immortal. Spoken about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that he has a soul, spirit, and a body. And the Bible teaching that the soul does not die. Mark 9:44, Isaiah 66:24, the soul and spirit are immortal and go on forever, either in the presence of the Lord or in eternal punishment in hell. And point number two, as the soul is immortal, the Bible teaches that individuals are judged and able to burn without burning up. the immortality of the soul going to a place of torment and separation. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, speak about hell as a place of forever torment. Matthew 25, verse 46, speaks of everlasting punishment. Point number three, we begin to see how hell is explained and described. Just as the physical body has physical senses, it describes the torment of hell. Point number three, the smell of hell, the stench of sin, the nauseating smell of sulfur and brimstone spoken about in Psalm 11, verse 6, describes the everlasting stench and smell of hell throughout eternity, a state of nauseation to where individuals feel as if they want to throw up each and every moment, but cannot end that gut-wrenching smell and stench, the stench of sin forever. Point number four, the sounds of hell are described as individuals hear for eternity, cursing, regret, remorse, as the Bible describes in Matthew 25 and Matthew 8, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Speaks of pain and anguish, speaks of eternal regret and remorse, as throughout eternity they'll recollect in their conscience and in their awareness lost opportunities to be saved, multitudes of sermons that they remember were rejected, witnesses that came to them and spoke about Jesus and they rejected, individuals giving them tracts that they rejected, songs that they sang and heard, rejecting the truth of those Christian songs, and the regret and remorse that the Holy Spirit in their life was pricking their conscience, telling them to repent, telling them not to go down certain paths and do certain things that would damn their soul, and yet they rejected the pricking of the Holy Spirit. Seeing others make it into the kingdom and themselves being left out. The eternal state of remorse and regret with no remedy and no way out. Point number five, hell is described in terms of sight, as in Jude 13, speaking of the blackness of darkness forever. Matthew 25, verse 30, speaking of outer darkness. This is more than just the state of not being able to see, but this is what the Bible describes as darkness that can be felt. A state of awareness still exists while individuals are in hell, but they cannot see. And this speaks of not having any hope, speaks of having no fellowship with others, no awareness of any others around you where you can make contact with them, but only hearing the screams of torment and wailing around them. This lack of sight and spiritual blackness speaks of the ultimate of loneliness, the ultimate of being alone, the ultimate of the vast nothingness that awaits them in hell. Point number six speaks of the pain and agony and torment of hell, as Matthew 22, verse 13, and Matthew 8, verse 12, once again speaks of the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The utter agony and hatred of their situation, as all individuals can do is suffer everlasting torment with no relief. Separate from God's mercy, separate from his peace, separate from his joy, separate from any relief. In a state of so much pain where individuals want to die but cannot die. Individuals that want to end it but cannot end it. Everlasting and forever, the anguish of pain and agony and torment in an eternal state of suffering. No one can pray them out. No one can deliver them out. No one can rescue them. No one can die for them. No one can be baptized on their behalf. No rescue, no relief. Everlasting, too late. Point number 7, one of the most intense points about hell, speaks of individuals being bound up without the state of movement, freedom, liberty, as described here in the natural. Individuals going to court or going on their way to jail or prison are bound up by bailiffs with handcuffs or leg irons to prevent escape and limit movement. Same thing as in God's court. Angels acting as God's bailiff bind up the wicked, according to Matthew 22:13 and Jude chapter 6, speaking of everlasting chains. And these angels acting as God's bailiff in God's court bind up the wicked and cast them into the lake of fire. This describing that individuals will not go voluntarily. They'll not just access and go into hell or the lake of fire. They have to be cast, for they will resist until the very last moment. Some would describe this in the natural as having sleep paralysis, where in the nighttime as they sleep, they suddenly cannot move. Suddenly, it's hard to breathe, and they feel like they're being choked, tormented by demons, and they cannot move. And the more they try and move, the more difficult it is for them to, in their mind, be free and get away. This is how individuals will be bound in hell. No movement, no running away, no escape. Bound up in torment and suffering. All of these descriptions, the stench of sin as a smell, nauseating, the sounds of cursing and regret and remorse, the blackness of sight, where individuals are in utter despair, lonely, the ultimate of being alone in the vast nothingness. The pain and agony of torment forever. This is but an infinitesimal description of hell, as all these points can be expounded upon exponentially to the nth degree, and we still would not scratch the surface at the ultimate suffering of hell. How do individuals escape this torment? Escaping from their rejection of the Lord and their lack of love of God and others. Scripture teaches in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is yet near. Scripture also teaches that tomorrow is not promised to us, but today is the day of salvation. Scripture teaches that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If individuals accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, trusting that he died for our sins and rose from the dead, individuals will be saved. Admitting that they're a sinner, believing on the Lord, confessing and calling upon him in their heart, they will be saved. For the Scripture teaches in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com.